Think about a time whenever you endured great suffering. Try to recall an experience, obviously with great reverence here, a time where you went through something really difficult. It actually hurt. It hurt a lot. Now, what if you knew ahead of time how much it was going to hurt before it happened? If you would have known just how bad it was going to be before you experienced that great suffering, would you choose to do it anyway? Would you choose to endure that amount of suffering anyway if you knew just how much it would hurt? The great mystery of today is that Christ freely chose to endure the passion and death. If we knew ahead of time the amount of pain that a certain suffering in our life would cause, most of us would probably try to avoid it. Or most of us would at least try to make it a little bit more bearable, try to do whatever we can ahead of time on the front end to make it a little less painful. But Christ does otherwise. I watched The Passion of the Christ recently, a great film directed by Mel Gibson. And I was particularly struck this time with one scene in particular. And it was actually conveyed in today's gospel reading as well. There's a moment whenever Pilate looks to Jesus, and it's actually after he was scourged, and Pilate is trying to find a way out for Christ. He's trying to find a reason to set him free. And he has this great line where he says, "Speak to me, I have the power to crucify you and to set you free." That's Pilate's words to Jesus. "I have the power to crucify you and to set you free." And Jesus' response is, "You have no power over me except for what has been given to you from above." There's a great irony there. Like, Pilate recognizes, because of his position in society at the time, that he has some civil power over Jesus in this circumstance. But Jesus is pointing out supernaturally that no one has any power over him. He is God. And the authority that Pontius Pilate had was given to him by God, just as any of our authority and power that we may have is given to us by God. But God reigns. God is all powerful. And because Jesus is God, no one has power over him. And it really struck me, because then the scene, it shifts to like a flashback, which brings us back to John chapter 10, whenever Jesus is talking about the good shepherd, and he says, "No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." And so Mel Gibson does a really great job of drawing those two passages together and showing us how important it is here that Jesus is not having his life taken from him. Jesus freely chooses to die. He freely chooses to lay down his life. "No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and to take it up again. And this command I have received from my Father." He's willingly obeying the Father's will to freely choose to die for us. That is an immense amount of freedom. Think about that. The ability to freely choose to die for the sake of love takes an immense amount of interior freedom. Because most of us, when we see anything that hints at suffering, we try to avoid it. We run from it. We try to make it more bearable. We do whatever we can to not make it happen. And if it does happen, we complain and fight against it. But Jesus freely lays it down. And what's really beautiful And I encourage you, next time you watch The Passion of the Christ, really to pay attention to this. Throughout the film, Mel Gibson does a great job of highlighting how Jesus freely chooses the cross. He freely chooses Calvary. There's like a number of moments throughout the film where Jesus like makes that choice to go to his death. There's a really beautiful moment, if you recall, whenever the scene where he's being scourged. And that scene is so hard to watch, and it seems like it just never ends. And they just keep beating him. And then you finally, like, you see Christ is just like, just, you know, it looks like he's just totally done. And even the guards think that, okay, well, I guess we're done here because we've done as much as we can at this point. And then miraculously, what happens is Jesus gets the strength to stand back up. He chooses to continue the scourging. And he stands back up, and even the guards are perplexed. They're like, what's going on here? And so then they go forward and they continue to offer the beatings. Whenever they give him the cross, a little while later, you see very well done that Jesus starts to hug the cross, embrace the cross. And even one of the thieves who's walking the road of Calvary with Jesus, the two thieves, one of them shouts at Jesus and says, why does he embrace his cross? So there as well, Mel Gibson highlights Jesus choosing to embrace the cross. Soon afterwards, we're walking down the path of Calvary, and there's that beautiful scene where Mary, his mother, is meeting Christ along the way. And Jesus falls right before that, and Mary starts to run towards him in order to offer him some comfort, some consolation, some assurance. And it's a really special moment between Jesus and Mary, and she says, I'm here, I'm here. And Jesus looks at her, and then he stands up and he says, behold, mother, I make all things new. And he stands up, and it's a really glorious moment of Jesus is although he's receiving his mother's his love there, her love there for him, he doesn't stop, he doesn't give up, he continues to get up and to go forward. We finally get to Calvary. Oh, actually, before that, then even just the humility of Jesus to accept the help from Simon of Cyrene, and the sweetness, that little moment of consolation from Veronica wiping his face. These little moments, Jesus receives it. He chooses to receive it instead of getting beat up and discouraged. When he finally makes it to Calvary, notice next time you watch, Jesus is really just laying on the ground, and there's this cross that's laying next to him. And the guards are just getting ready. They've just stripped him of his clothes, and they're getting ready to nail him to the cross. But before they can do that, Jesus starts to crawl. And he starts to crawl to the cross. He is going to the cross. No one is taking his life from him. He's freely choosing Calvary. He's freely choosing to die. They finally get him crucified and elevated on the cross. And even there, instead of being totally beat up and discouraged, he's paying attention to those around him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even the thief that repents and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus is able to freely choose to forgive in that moment. Behold, this day, today you will be with me in paradise. So all of these little moments, and there's probably more if you go back and watch, like, and if you just bring this to prayer, you can really just kind of meditate and consider how Christ freely chooses to suffer and to die for us. Freedom exists for the sake of love. St. John Paul II is famously quoted saying that freedom exists so that we may love. Freedom is not about being able to do whatever we want when we want. That's autonomy. But real freedom is about the ability and the capacity to do what we ought. The ability and the capacity to love totally, to give ourselves, to hold nothing back. In other words, freedom is about being not selfish. But you and I, we, because we're fallen, because we are sinful men and women, we find ourselves unable to love totally. In my experience, there are three things in particular that hold us back from being completely free. I'm sure there's more, but here's at least three really big ones. I'll call them the three C's. Comfort, convenience, and control. The three C's. Comfort, convenience, and control. Imagine if we chose to let go of all three. Think about what your life might be like if you let go of all three, or at least let go of the attachment to all three. It would actually be pretty difficult because it would be uncomfortable if you didn't have comfort. And it would be inconvenient if it weren't convenient. And it would be uncontrolled if you lost control. To be uncomfortable, inconvenient, and uncontrolled sounds terrible, doesn't it? That sounds like a miserable way to live. That sounds like we are totally lost our minds. But that is the way to freedom. This is the Christian path to true interior freedom. This is the pedagogy of love. This is how we learn how to love totally, completely and unconditionally whenever we let go of our attachment to those three C's. Really, that's just another way of saying pleasures, possessions, and pride, which is the three primary sins that Adam and Eve faced in the garden, the temptation, and Jesus conquered in the desert. It's all part of our human experience, but we cling. And when we cling, we become more selfish and less able to love. So, as we venerate the cross today, I want to invite you to think about what great love it took for Jesus to freely choose to suffer and to die. Because he was God, he knew how much it was going to hurt. Hence why in the agony in the garden, he was sweating blood in anticipation of how painful this was going to be. And he freely chose to do it anyway. He didn't run from it, he didn't avoid it, and he didn't even try to medicate the pain. He freely chose to lay down his life in total love for us. So as we venerate the cross today, I just invite you to think about what great love that really is, and to ask Jesus to set you free so that you may love like him. Amen.